It's the one and only Africa Allah and the B-Team DJs by Playmass Dr. Day. You're familiar.
Back from a 6-week hiatus is the one and only Africa Allah, all in your ear hole. And you already know I does it when I do it. I have been out of the country celebrating Bahamas Carnival 2023. Got off to a rocky start, but it was a great month of activities. Then I came back to the A, popped out. Downtown Atlanta Carnival. We'll talk more about that next week, but today I'm here to talk to you about Bahamas Carnival 2024, the celebration of culture as we get ready to celebrate our golden jubilee for the Bahamas, as well as chop it up with one of the band owners of Bahamas Carnival, Mr. Theodore Cooper. But I don't know if that's the old name, but anyway, Theo Cooper, what's good?
Well, you got it right. Theodore Cooper is the name. But I run with the Theo. I run with the Theo since that I will be in trouble. So Theo it is. Okay. Happy to be here. Happy to have gone through another carnival season after COVID. I guess this is our first one. No, it is our first. We had a little sample last year, but this is the first carnival since COVID, and it's good to be back on the road and back outside.
This year had some challenges. Please expound on some of the challenges that you guys had.
Well, the challenges started with us. You know, our reality in Bahamas Carnival is we've been doing this for some time now without any support from the Bahamas government. The government that initiated this carnival came back in late 2021, 22, I think. And we figured we'd get some support, but we didn't. And so we moved forward anyway on our own again, but we started a bit too late. And so bands didn't begin to launch until February of this year, which is, you know, normally under most circumstances, our persons in the Bahamas will get up and say, get involved, because we normally lay in behind. But this year, we just didn't see it. We didn't get it. We didn't get the energy. The vibe didn't pick up. It was just a lull throughout the entire season. And you know, we all felt it. We felt it from those who threw events, and we felt it from those who went on the road. So our numbers weren't our numbers, and our events, we didn't have the attendance. And so it was a struggle. It was a big struggle throughout the entire carnival season. And you know, this is just something that we don't take it lightly, but we know that we need to do better for 2024, but we're on the way to making that happen.
So you guys are participating in several carnivals around the world. Tell us a little bit about that and what's the mindset behind that. And in addition to Miami and London, you guys will also be participating. I think it's about 5 groups that will be participating in the Bahamas Charleston Carifest Takeover, where we're taking over Charleston, South Carolina for the weekend of June 29th through July 1st, actually through July 2nd. We'll be partying for 4 days and celebrating our culture, independence, history, and so much more with all of the people throughout the diaspora. You guys, I know that every year we know when Miami Carnival is coming, when Trinidad Carnival is coming, when Atlanta Carnival is coming. When are you guys going to put out the information for the dates? If not launching, when are you going to put out the information for the dates so people can plan accordingly?
As an association, to talk about the new date and how this date, the results of this date change that we had this year. We do know that we have gotten some feedback from the persons in the Haitian community as pertains to the fact that this change of date would have negatively impacted them, because this is when they celebrate their Haitian Flag Day. So the same day that we had Bahamas Carnival is the time in which they use to march and go around town celebrating their Haitian Flag Day. You know, we've heard several persons say, you know what, because they couldn't celebrate here, they went down to Miami to celebrate their Haitian Flag Day. And you know what, the reality is, in the Bahamas, we have so much persons of Haitian descent here. It's not a good thing for us to disenfranchise an entire diaspora persons. And you know, Bahamas Carnival exists to get more persons involved. We want persons from every source of life throughout the Caribbean that are here in the Bahamas to participate in the Bahamas Carnival, because this is one of those things where we feel anyone and everyone should be able to get involved in. And so definitely, as we meet to discuss this date that we had changed, you know, we're going to have to consider how it's negatively impacted this year's carnival, as well as, you know, is it still feasible to have it where it is, or is it more feasible to go back to where it was for 2024? And it is our intent, whatever we decide, to lock in that date for at least 3 to 5 years, so persons know, hey, this is Bahamas Carnival's date. It's not going to change. You can guarantee that it'll be, you know, the first weekend in May or the third weekend in May, whatever it is. We're going to establish that and have that locked and loaded for at least 3 to 5 years moving forward.
Okay. All right. Well, we're looking forward to that information, because, you know, we're ready to get, we're ready to start planning for 2024. Now, we've talked about the challenges. We've talked about the success. I just want to say that even though, this was a low turnout year, you notice that there were a sizable amount of spectators on the streets. And I wonder if that has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of people had no...
Well, I think, you know what? I think the reality of it is, you know, in the Bahamas growing up, whenever there was a march or a parade or anything of sorts, persons always gathered to watch it. You know, junk canoe is one of those things that we always gathered to watch. And any, you know, youth march, Baptist Day, whatever it is, people got to gather. And, you know, I happen to have the pleasure of walking the route this year with the police to see what it actually was and the amount of people that actually turned out. And it was an eye-opening experience for me seeing it from the other side, because normally I'm in the road and not participating. I was able to see it on the ground. And there were lots of people out there. There were lots of vendors out there. There were persons that had scooters along the route. You know, there's so many opportunities in which persons can get involved, not just participating in the carnival, but on the sidelines, you know, cheering bands on as they pass, you know, wearing your t-shirts, you know, tailgating. And, you know, obviously, despite the naysayers, I feel Bahamas Carnival is definitely here to stay, and it's going to grow no matter what each year. And so, you know, as one of the persons leading the way, we're definitely going to see how we can capitalize on this and how make it more enjoyable for the participant, as well as the spectators, as well as the vendors. Make it more safe and make it something that all persons can come in and enjoy.
Now, you know, you touched on something that's interesting. There is a significant amount of space for growth from a participant's perspective as well as a spectator's perspective. What are you guys doing, or have you begun having conversations in figuring out how you can monetize the overall experience?
We haven't really got together to have those discussions yet. We had some discussions pertaining to that late in the game, and you know, now it's just figuring out exactly what aspects we're going to put into play. You know, initially in the years, the first year and year or two, we had a stage, we had a crossing of the stage, and I think that was something that revelers really appreciated and enjoyed. And this is another element that we want to bring back. We want to have the crossing of the stage. In fact, we want to have several stages. We want to have bleachers erected. We want to have sky boxes where persons could actually purchase and have like VIP service. There's so much opportunities available for persons. You know, as someone that walked the route myself, I thought about vendor zones where we had restrooms, zones where we had, you know, the beverage distributors having their own bar setups, which they were out, but they weren't organized. How do we organize it and structure it? How do we have, you know, paid seating, you know, luxury treatment? You know, how do we get the most out of this carnival for that day? And, you know, not just that day, how do we get the most out of it for this season? You know, how do we collaborate with promoters so we can have more events to stretch this out so this could be more of a month-long series of events where persons could really get into the vibe of Carnival? You know, personally, I thought about how do we even just incorporate a t-shirt fat? You know, there are persons that want to participate but not necessarily comfortable in being in a bathing suit. Why don't we just have a t-shirt day or t-shirt section, or allow t-shirt bands to participate so it's not, so it's, it feels more wholesome where persons could get involved. You know, I saw persons dancing on the side of the road. You know, how do we get grandma and grandpa in it? You know, how do we get the little kitties in it? How do we have the little kitties carnival? You know, these are aspects of carnivals around the world that allow persons from all walks of life to get involved. And that's something that I'm hoping that we really can garner and get on board for 2024.
Right. Now, you talked about the production of a carnival, and I want you to expound on that, because a lot of people express to me their qualms in regards to the pricing of the costumes. And when I broke down the economics of a carnival band and a carnival section, they were like, okay, I get it. And, you know, they were more inclined to spend the money. But how do you effectively communicate that information to the general population without it sounding like an excuse? So tell us, like, you know, what goes into the actual production?
You know what? You're talking about educating the people on the reality of things.
So they can get a clear understanding of that.
Unfortunately, in the Bahamas, persons have no idea what it costs to host a parade. Whether it's Carnival, whether it's Junkanoo, whether it's just a street march. Junkanoo is our number one parade in this country. And as a Junkanoo, we've seen astronomical changes in the costs that it takes to produce these costumes. So we don't make or manufacture anything in the Bahamas as pertains to raw materials that we use on any of these costumes, whether it be Junkanoo, whether it be Carnival. So that means everything is being imported. You know, we've seen anyone that imports anything into this country knows that everything has gone up tremendously in the past few years. Most of the things we use coming from China. And so the cost on anything that comes from China today versus yesterday, before COVID or even this recession or war, I should say, that's happening out there, has changed. And so we see Carnival costumes have gone up by far, by thousands of dollars. You know, I'm in my section alone for Miami Carnival. You know, I had a particular price range in mind, and I'm being told, hey, no, that doesn't work. Our carnival costumes, you know, our front line is $1,500, whereas we're struggling to sell a front line in the Bahamas for $1,000. They're telling me no. In Miami, which is just across the water, their front line is $1,500. And so when we look at the cost of that versus what it costs here, the cost of doing carnival in the U.S. is much cheaper than it is in the Bahamas, because we, in fact, have to go to Miami to get a lot of the materials that we use here. So just imagine the cost there versus the cost here in the Caribbean doing this carnival. You know, then we factor in the cost of trucks, the cost of building out these trailers, the cost of alcohol, and it continues to add up. You know, we had a bill from the police association just to man the parade over $20,000. And that's just because, you know, the route is so long, it has so many police officers on it, and you know, oftentimes persons don't know that these costs exist because they don't hear about it. Junkanoo pays these same costs, but we don't hear about it because that's a national event and the government just absorbs that. So when I hear a person tell me, oh, we need to do away with it, the government needs to stop wasting money, you know, I get into a mode where I want to swear, because you have no idea what this costs us to do. This is a private event. And so it costs us money to just host it. And so it's not... Pardon?
I think you need to reiterate the fact that this is a private event. The government has pulled support out of Bahamas Carnival as of 2017, when the new government came in. As a result, the bands themselves took on the responsibility of executing the 2017 Carnival, and thus and since then have continued to take on that responsibility. These are private owners, which is the reason why you don't see the 26 bands that initially started Bahamas Carnival in 2014. You now see a smaller amount of bands because not only do you have to pay for the production of the actual band, but you have to pay a fee in order to actually have a band license, right? I don't know what the fee is now, but I know that there is a fee, and the fee is
no.
If you don't have sufficient funding, then it makes no sense. So just ownership alone, because you have to have some type of guarantees to make sure that if something happens in the event, like similar to a COVID, you can cover yourselves and either refund or create some type of way for you to get those monies back to the people that invested, whether it's partial discounts, partial refunds, or whatever. So those are things that people don't understand go into it. Additionally, you have to think, if you think about just having an event, right? You have to pay for toilets, latrines, you have to pay for security. Normally, security is one per 100. When you're talking about large gatherings and stuff like this, they usually want one per 50, right? So now you have to think about the cost of security, not only public security, but private security, because each band has to have security in their band. You know, we have to think about insurance, so that if something happens on the road, you're not liable. You have to think of these are invisible costs. These are things that nobody thinks about, right? But yet, when you're on the road, you want to go to the bathroom. When you're on the road, you want to see police. You want to make sure that there's somebody around there to protect you. You want to make sure that you can enjoy yourself in an atmosphere where you don't feel like there's going to be a problem. Since I've been participating in Bahamas Carnival, I've never experienced any altercations to the point that it was detrimental. You know, you have to think about food, because you want water on the road. You want water, you want snacks, you want to be able to party and be able to consume something so that you can continue to enjoy yourselves. So some bands offer snacks on the road in addition to their required meal plan. Outside of that, your DJs. Think now, just like everything else has gone up, we're in the middle of a recession. Everything has gone up and there's inflation everywhere, right? You have to think about the cost of your DJs. And now you guys want top-notch DJs, you know what I mean? So a DJ is not charging less than, at the minimum, the least you're going to spend is $250 per hour. And we're talking about 10 hours worth of partying. So you think, you multiply that in itself at the lowest is...
For sure.
Well over $2,000, right? So these again are invisible costs, because these are the things that people don't think about, right? Now, if you go high end and you're like people like the Masqueraders that are bringing in artists or bringing in international DJs, you're talking about the cost of a booking, because it doesn't matter if they're going in
Correct.
A coliseum, in a club, or on your truck, they're charging you a fee. All right. So whether that's 3,000,
mm-hmm.
3,000, 5,000, 10,000, they're charging you a fee. All right. Again, invisible costs that people don't think about. This is before we even get to the production of your carnival costume. So your costume costs incorporates all of these invisible fees that you don't think about. Even if you were a t-shirt band, you still have these invisible costs. You have to ensure that there is a certain vibe with your band or you won't have a band. And so I think that this is, I think that if we have these kind of conversations with the general population and or again, you know, podcasts, conversations online, video, stuff like that, that we're putting out and letting people know that, you know, we're not trying to price gouge you. We just want to make sure that we give you the best possible experience and make sure that you're partying safely, because that is our ultimate goal. Like you said, you had a bill for the overall carnival upward to $20,000. That's just security. That's not checkpoints. That's not making sure that you have medevacs on the road. Like, people don't understand, like, having a medevac on the road costs money. You have to pay for those professionals to be on the road. But I just want us to think about it from a business aspect when we're talking about carnival and we're talking to a layman in regards to it, because I don't really think that, and this is across the board, this is not just in Bahamian culture, but just in the culture itself, a lot of people don't understand the invisible costs that are attached with the production of a carnival. I'm currently working on the Charleston project, the Bahamas Takeover Charleston project. And it was initially just supposed to be assisting with securing the bands to participate. It turned into a task. And it turned into a task because the people that were organizing had never participated in carnival. So, you know, when you've been to so many and you've been a part of the production process of it, you look at it and you're like, we can't do this. Like, this, what you're talking about. People think you just get one toilet and put it on a truck and that's it. I'm like, no, it's so much more. You know, you want to make sure that you don't have any issues with people standing too close to the truck. So you have to have marshals. Those can be the problem is when you have volunteers.
But you know what? As you said, I think the reality of it is, when we look at carnivals and these international parades, I think because we don't sit down and talk about the economics and what it actually costs to host these parades, persons are simply oblivious to what any of these events cost. You know, we could talk about Junkin', which is a national event, and when I tell persons, hey, my group spent $100,000 last year just to get to the road and we had no title sponsor, they look at me and wonder how. Well, there's a whole lot of begging and a whole lot of personal resources that go into making that possible. And carnival is the same thing. You know, you're talking about an entity like myself where it costs me about a small band that averages around 200 to 300 persons, close to $50,000 just to make carnival a reality for persons. I wouldn't even talk about a Bahamas Masqueraders, which is a much larger entity. And we're talking a lot of money. It takes a lot of money to make this happen, especially without any type of government support. You know, it's rough. It's rough.
But is it... Now, it's rough, but is it worth it? I mean, look, think about it. Theo, I want your honest opinion. As a band owner, what makes...
Oh, boy.
Actualization of carnival,
if you ask for you? Me 2 weeks ago, I'd probably say no. But when you ask me today, I'd say yeah. Because for me, carnival, while it's a business and it's while it's something we do to make a few dollars, you know, we in Hypnotic do carnival because we like sharing our culture with the world. And currently, Junkin', which is our national festival, isn't a parade in which we could share other than...
So, you say education. I have been documenting the evolution of Bahamas Carnival since its inception. Our first look at Bahamas Carnival was culture versus commerce and how carnival would change the culture of the Bahamas, it was suggested that within 5 years of Bahamas Carnival, people would not celebrate Junkanoo the way they do. However, it's been the reverse. You see more people attending Junkanoo. You see more people involved with it because they've had their feet wet in the carnival experience, and now they're attending. The attendance is up, or they're participating in other parts of the world. Miami has the Gombe Festival and several other activities. They just recently renamed a part of the city to Little Bahamas. So they've had several activities where they're incorporating both elements. In addition, you see more Bahamians out to carnival activities throughout the world. There are 133 carnivals around the world, which with the inception of Bahamas Carnival, it gives us an opportunity not only to participate, but to have our artists showcased on these major stages, thus increasing the value of Bahamian artistry globally, allowing our entertainment industry to flourish and grow. So we do have a lot of things that we can expound on for the general population, but education can be done year-round as a part of this. So we know we have a task when it comes to educating the general population. Tell us, what is your projection for Bahamas Carnival 2024 and beyond?
For 2024 and beyond, Hypnotic is actually going to be focusing heavily on an international campaign. And so what that means is we're going to be participating in carnivals outside of the Bahamas as well as in the Bahamas. So we're looking to, you know, we're doing Miami this year in 2023, and we're going to continue to do that next year, as well as we're looking to expand into either St. Lucia or Jamaica for 2024. You know, we feel that to bring more persons here, more persons need to know about us, our brand, and what we're doing here in the Bahamas. And so we're definitely intending to extend our reach because we've come from an international background. So we're just going back to our roots in terms of spreading our culture abroad and what we do here. Definitely, whatever we're going to do here, we're going to launch much earlier than later just to give persons time. People need time to assess, you know, feel the vibe and pay down on their costumes, because costumes are not cheap. So, you know, preparations earlier allow persons to really gather and appreciate what we got to offer much sooner than later.
It's the one and only Africa Allah, and I'm speaking with Theo Cooper from Hypnotic Mass. Hypnotic Mass out of Nassau, Bahamas. You guys, make sure you check out all of the videos, photos, and information on our website, as well as carnivalconcierge.online. The information and details regarding Bahamas Carnival 2024 will be available to you as soon as it is available to us, so you guys continue to follow the vibes. It's the one and only Africa Allah, and yeah, this is what it means to be Africa Allah.